Okie doke. All right. We got the recording going. Baruch Hashem. Okay. Again, always a shout out to everybody supporting this year on Patreon. We are doing, today we are doing Perek Yud in the Mesilas Yesharim. I want to just be mocked him. I just want to say that the first nine prokim, again, this is my opinion, so take it for what it's worth. The first nine prokim are pretty easy to relate to, in my opinion. Simply because it's things that we're used to kind of fighting. We're talking about staying away from Averos and getting up with the energy to do mitzvos. That's stuff we can relate to. Now, Nikius, this next rung on the ladder, which literally means, they translate here as cleanliness, which is obviously ridiculous. We have to explain what that means. But this is already a bit of a higher level. This is, you know, a more refined person. And again, it makes a lot of sense because, again, we're reading the Ramchal, you know, as a book, and he's going from rung to rung explaining what we have to do, right? The Ramchal is assuming that a person is moving up the ladder, but it could take many months and years for a person to move right from where we started, right? We started with first internalizing that Torah is the MS, and that is the determining factor when you see and choose good versus evil. That's A. Could take a person many months and many years to get to that. Then we talked about Zahirus, being careful of Averos, Zerizos, getting up the energy to do mitzvos. Right? This could be like, you know, a lifelong progression. And frankly, if a person just gets to that rung, they've accomplished a tremendous amount. But it is good to know that there is more to accomplish. And sometimes when you read it quickly, in a matter of weeks, it almost seems like the Ramchal has unrealistic expectations of a person. That is not true. He himself says, as we'll get to it in a second, in this perek, that this is a very high level. But just keep in mind that this is a bit higher. But as you'll see in a second, a lot of it is certainly relatable. And there is tremendous things that you can gain from studying, obviously, these chapters and the rest of the Sefer, as we'll point out. But I just wait. If it does seem a little bit to be a little bit out there, so I will. I just wanted to be mocked and start with that. Okay, but again, Mr. Jumper, right? The goal is to move up the ladder as much as we can. Okay, so after Zihirus, like we said, being careful about Averos and Zerizos, getting up and doing mitzvos, we have Nikius. What is Nikius? As I said, translated as cleanliness, but that's not what it means. Says the Ramchal, Midos HaNikius, what does it mean to be naki, clean? Heyos HaDam naki legamrei mikol midara u'mikol chet. When a person has already cleaned himself from every bad character trait, from every sin, lo dai mimasha chet mafursa magoli. It's not enough to repel and get rid of and stop yourself from doing all the obvious sins. And again, I know I'm reading from the text. I'm just going to start us off and then we'll keep on going. Ela gamki mimasha lev niftabo lahoros heter badavar. But also from situations where the heart seduces a person, right, to decide that things are mutter. So again, just to take a backtrack for a second, right? Nikius means, right, when a person is clean from bad traits and bad sins. Well, the question is, what's a chiddush? Meaning, what? This is what we were already trying to accomplish with Zihirus and Zerizus, right? To avoid Averos and do mitzvos. So says Ramchal, this next step is taking into account the Averos and the mitzvos that a person is not only aware of. That was the first two levels. But when a person is not as aware of the sin, in the sense that he or she has convinced themselves that the subject at hand is mutter. And let's just explain outside for a second, right? In other words, there are two things, meaning there's black and white. There are black averos, there are white mitzvos, clear, right? Los ases and ases, do this, don't do that. And then there are what we'll call the murky gray areas. Right, black and white, everybody understands, don't eat treif. Zero says, be careful, don't eat something that doesn't have a hechsher. But there's also gray areas, and I don't mean gray as in like, it might be mutter, it might be aser. Here, it means more like, I'll call it murky, because I feel like gray almost implies that it could be mutter, it could be aser. This is more murkier areas, because it's harder to tell if it's aser, in the sense that people tend to rationalize when they're in certain situations. For example, a person's very hungry, and the only food they have is something that doesn't have a hechsher, but they start looking at you ever do this, right? You ever like go to 7-Eleven and like, it doesn't have a hechsher, but you start like looking at ingredients, Well, that's not treif, and that's not treif, and that's not treif. Like it says, vegetable shortening instead of animal shortening. Like that's in a scenario where you're kind of pretty sure you shouldn't be eating it, but like you're hungry and you want it. So like you'll start kind of like knocking it down a few pegs. So that's where a person has what's called a negia. A person is partial to the situation. You have a reason to decide that it's mutter, decide that this is what we're allowed to do. So at that moment, they have a desire to pasken in a certain way because of either a taiva or an outside influence or whatever. Another example, just maybe you got extra money back from that cashier in 7-Eleven, right? You bought something kosher, forget that, but now you got an extra quarter. And you rationalize, well, I've been overcharged in the past, or the Slurpees were too expensive. Anyway, this is what the Ramchal says, right? He says, Alev niftebo lahoros heter badavar. The heart, right, has been seduced to decide that this is mutter. But, again, if you would really analyze truthfully, right, it wouldn't seem like this is not a mutter thing to do. Right? If someone else would ask you this shaila, you wouldn't have been like, yeah, that's fine. No, you would have said you should give back your quarter. You should say, you would tell them, find something else to eat that has a hechsher. But when you have a partiality, when you're partial, when you have a negia, so then that's what we call a lack of nikios, a lack of quote unquote cleanliness. Right? Nikios is freeing yourself from the rationalizations, from the personal investment, right, in a shaila. And when you're viewing these issues that you're kind of being kind of like seduced by yourself into doing, so right, you should. If a person who is naki, a person who is clean, they're able to view the situation as if they're a third party, right? As if they're not involved, right? And a person is able to act that way so that you can see clearly, right? When you're not involved in the situation, right? When you have a friend that's going through relationship issues, and you're whatever, and you're a close friend, and you know the details, and you're outside the situation, and you very clearly know, hey, listen, it's either positive or negative, and you could tell because you're a third party. You're coming from the outside, right? Every time you're able to look at it objectively, so then you can decide positive or negative. That's what we're talking about. That's what to be naki is to able to see every situation from, right? Take yourself out, right? Almost like like they do in the movies, like your soul floats up from your body. Look at the situation from above, right? And then when you're faced with something that's an avera, you'll be able to stay away from it. Now, the reason that Ramchal calls it Nikius is because there's a Gemara. The Gemara he quotes, and just if you're following in the text, right? I'm in the end of the second paragraph on page 53, right? There's a Gemara that says people who don't have any evil in them is called Nikie Hadas B'Yushalayim, the clean of mind, right, in Yushalayim. Right? These things are. That's why it's good to call it murky, right? Because it's like dirty. Right? Things are not murky for these people, right? There's only black and there's only white. Right, again, we already know that chait is evil, right? Because we have zehirus, right? We're careful. We understand that Torah is our barometer for good and evil. So we know, we understand that chait is quote unquote poison, and you'll do whatever you can to stay away from it. So these people are objectively analyzing every situation and coming to a proper decision. So then he says in the third paragraph, v'hinach, or v'hincha. Now, again, I don't want to read the text so much, but then, what then is the difference between someone who is a zahir, right, someone who stays away from averos, and someone who's a naki, someone who is clean of, personal influence? So it's the murky gray areas, right? To the zahir, to the someone who has zahirus, right, the first thing we talked about pretty much, that person has the Yitzhara, right? But Baruch Hashem, they're able to conquer the Yitzhara. But still, the Yitzhara is still constantly pestering them and saying, do it, do it, do it, do it, do it. But they're able to overcome them because they know they have zehirus, they're careful, they think about it, they realize it's usur, fine. But that person has not yet, a person who is not yet naki, a person who is not yet quote-unquote clean, right, has not yet overcome the natural instinct, right, and their personal negius, their personal kind of netius also, it's also a Hebrew word I'm trying to, their personal partiality to the situation. Right, and it makes it difficult to decide. And therefore, right, that leaves a person open to rationalization. Right? And once we can rationalize anything, right? So and we'll talk about that in a minute. So meaning the Zahir is able to say, I have two sides, right? Again, someone who has the first step, right? Zahirus. The person knows they have Yetzirah, they have Yetzirah Tov, and they choose the Yetzirah Tov. But once you have the Yetzirah there, right? So the Yetzirah comes up in all those murky areas and is able to like kind of seduce them to say, well, it's not really Osir, it's not really so bad, and this scenario should be Mutter, etc. Okay, so now, so just to flip the page on page Mendalit here. However, says the Ramchal, how do you become a Naki? How do you become someone who has this midah of Nikius, of not being partial in your life? So the first thing he says is, Sheitz ragel ha'adam hergel gadol b'zihiruz hazeh. Good habits, and we spoke about this last time, right? Creating good habits to make sure you stay on the right course, no matter what way the wind is blowing. You have good habits, you'll be able to pull through. Right? A person should become habituated to be a Zohir, to be careful, right? to think about their actions. Once you've been a Zohir long enough, right, so then you're able to make the proper decisions, right, for the black and white. And slowly, what the Ramchal says, slowly what's going to happen, again, this is, we're talking days and weeks and months, right? So you'll end up getting to a point where you have 100% record, right, in the black and white. Right? So you'll get used to being an Eved Hashem. I'm just paraphrasing what he says in the paragraph over here. You'll be able to make proper, careful, zehiros-based decisions. And what happens is your love for Kosh Baruch Hu will grow. And then the ava that you have, the love that you have for Hashem, will replace the taiva that a person has for physicality. Because everybody has desires, right? Every human being, right up to the gadol ador, to the biggest bum, everybody has personal desires. What are we doing? We're replacing our taivas for the physical towards a love of a Kosh Baruch Hu and a desire to do what a Kosh Baruch Hu wants. Right, so that koach, or those good manners, right, those good habits, right, leads a person towards Nikias, right, and that will lead the murky situations into a case where there is nothing is murky and everything is black and white because you're able to remove yourself, right, from the equation. I do just want to mention before we continue, right, these are very general kind of discussions, right? We very often talk, a person has zehiros, a person is careful, a person has zrizos, they go up and they do mitzvahs. A person is naki, they're able to remove themselves from situations. We talk about them in general things, but very often a person will go through life in different aspects of halacha and also accomplish in different areas of halacha. Because again, as we suggested, again, we mentioned definitely in seminary, but I think maybe once or twice in this year as well, if a person just says, you know what, I'm going to be zahir, I'm going to be careful. So if you're just doing that in a general way, it's going to be very hard to remember to do that. But if a person picks a couple of veros here and there to focus on, I'm going to be very careful about my kashrus. I'm going to be very careful about my brachos. So it's much easier to kind of check off boxes almost, right? And you can see, like he says before, a person who making 100% record in the black and white of avoiding veros, very few of us are avoiding every single vero in the book. But when you're working on yourself, right, you're going from, let's say, brachos to saying, to davening every morning, to kashrus, to tznidos, to shah, you can see a progression, right? And then, right, within those individual halachos, now you see you're jumping from zihirus to zirizos. Now you're going to end up in nikias, right? You can almost see yourself accomplishing and climbing the ladder, right? It's almost like we have 613, it's not really 613 because not all of them are applicable nowadays, but 613 different ladders that we're kind of climbing up. So I don't want you to get lost almost and like make this seem like it's too big, right? Certainly when a person is working on themselves, it's very important. Many of the Bali Musar say that you could choose 1, 2, 3 halachos to kind of focus on, and then when you master that, right, so then you go on to the next, right? For some people, kashrus is not an issue. So move on to the next and you can tackle that. Right? Again, I don't want it to seem like too big of a challenge, right? You can definitely buckle it down to different specific halachos. So either way, so a person is going to try, what do we say? A person, right, is going to create good habits, right, and leave a good impression and leave the murkiness into the black and white. Just the story of Miller, again, I learned Sharm from David Miller. So he told a story about Yaakov Kamenetsky, the Rosh Hashiva of Torah Vadas in Brooklyn. It was Nifter about, was it almost 40 years ago? So when he was originally, he was born in Europe before the Holocaust. And he was a Rav in Europe. A couple times he went to the post office. The postman gave him too much change. And every time Rav Yaakov would go back and return the change. So he got out before the Holocaust. But after the Holocaust, right, they found out, right, again, I'm not sure how they found out, but I guess they found out that this postman had apparently saved more Jews than any other goy in the near vicinity, certainly, and maybe even in more than that. And I asked him, why did he do it? So he said, because they had a holy rabbi. He said, fascinating that this goy would do this, he said he would test all the people of the cloth, all the rabbis and the priests and I guess the imams or whatever it is. And he said, very often the other religions' holy men would keep the money, And the holy rabbi would always give back the extra change. So he saw that it was a certain holiness in these people. And when they saw that these people were in danger, I figured that they should live. So that's what we're talking about. We're talking about a way not to rationalize, even if it's just a couple pennies, right? That when something's inappropriate, it's inappropriate, and we tackle that. Okay. V'nei al midazu. Fascinating, says the Ramchal. Who exemplified this midah the most? David HaMelech. David HaMelech said he was happy about this midah. I'm on page 54, right? V'nei mid al midazu, for a third paragraph. Right? David HaMelech, a bunch of psukim. He said, "Erchatz ben akiyos kapay v'sovavah es mizbecha Hashem." He says, "I can wash my hands in nikiyos, and then I can circle your altar," meaning that only then can I approach a Kadosh Baruch Hu, says David HaMelech. Because only someone who is clean of all personal preference, right? That person, right, has no longer a framework of rationalization, right? They're clear. They've washed out all their personal kind of insinuations and whatever. Only that person can approach a Kadosh Baruch Hu, right? When what's avodas Hashem? What's being an eved is being mevatel your das, right? To a Kadosh Baruch Hu, saying that whatever Kadosh Baruch Hu wants, that's what I want. So who can approach the king? Says David HaMelech. Only someone who's an eved of that king, right? Someone who has the same goal, someone who is mevatel, right? Someone who is focused on what the king wants, right? Can you imagine, right? A person who doesn't serve a king come and show up with a request, right? That doesn't make sense. How would they get thrown out of palace? Again, we talked about doing Avodas Hashem for your own personal benefit, right? Because this makes you feel good, and that makes you feel good, and you pick this halacha, and you don't do this halacha. Well, that's tzviism. That's not Judaism, like we discussed. So only David HaMelech says when a person is able to kind of like align his ratzon with the Kadosh Baruch Hu's ratzon, so that makes sense that he can approach, right, Kadosh Baruch Hu. And as Ezra said, Elokai boshti v'chlamti laharim Elokai panay elecha. Right, Ezra, at the end of the first galus, when Bnei Yisrael came back from Babel, so they had intermarried tremendously. And Ezra said about getting rid of the intermarriage, but he said that Kadosh Baruch Hu, I'm embarrassed and I'm ashamed to even approach you. Right, again, all these averos, right, are happening right under my watch. So the same idea that we have to kind of focus, but we have to remove our own personal desires and kind of partiality, right, and kind of and only that way approach a Kadosh Baruch Hu. V'nevada in the last paragraph over there on page 54, ki malacha rabba hi la'adam lagia el shleimus hamidazos. This is the first time I mentioned the Ramchal is not unaware that this is a high level. Ramchal writes that I'm very aware for sure. This is tremendous amount of work for a person to get to this mida, right? For a person to be able to negate their own ego. Right, for a person to answer questions about themselves as if it's a third person, right? That they're not the one in the shiloh, right? With that, and someone else is asking them the shiloh, to have that perspective is very difficult. Why we ask, when people have shilohs about taras mishpacha, but we always say ask someone else. Right? The couple has a negiah, a couple has a certain desire for the shiloh to go one way or another. Ask somebody else. Right, even if you have the ability to paskin these types of shilohs. You got to ask somebody else because you have a negiah. Again, says Ramchal, this is much harder than avoiding black and white, right? Because we have seichel and we have intellect that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us, and that obscures our partiality. Right? A person can rationalize anything. So he says that this is something that is something that really is much more difficult, but it requires much more work. And then if you flip the page on page 55 over here, page Nun Hey, excuse me. Sometimes when you're speaking, you just suck in wind at the wrong at the wrong moment, and just it's like Chas Hashem, I'm choking. Okay, so he quotes two Mamari Chazal that I just want to mention, dwell on for a second. He quotes two statements of Chazal that really align with what we're talking about, and both of them are fascinating. All right, the first one he quotes is a Gemara in Avodah Zarah. Gemara Avodah Zarah Daf Yud Ches, Averus She'adam Dash Ba'akevav, Sovavoso So B'Shas Adin. That the sins that a person crushes with his heel, they surround him at the time of judgment. It calls to mind, it reminds us, at the beginning of Parshas Ekev, right? The Parshas Ekev is in 2 weeks from today, or 2 weeks from 2 days ago, right? Two Parshas from now. So the beginning, all the Parshas starts, Vaya Ekev Tishmun. If you would listen, And Rashi says, what's the word ikev? It should just said vayayat tishma'un. Right, if you listen to my mitzvos, and the pasuk lists off all these brachos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises. So Rashi there makes a similar quote, it doesn't quote this Gemara, but he makes something similar. It says, ikev, right, is something that you crush with your heel. It's like the small mitzvos that you crush with your heel. Right? And the word over there is that if you do these small mitzvos that your person crushes with your heel, right, you'll get all of these brachos. And that's the same idea over here, that a person, even these averos, that a person could crush with their heel, right, the small things. Right, that but still, things that are of a murkier nature. It's not so clear. It's not pig. It's not treif. It's probably not kosher. So don't shy away from those halachos, from those mitzvos, from those averos. Right? If you're able to avoid rationalizing those small little halachos that we're dealing with, it's a quarter. You didn't really steal it. The guy gave you change, maybe. If we're able to avoid, even those small, tiny averos still are there at the time of judgment, and certainly on the flip side, as we said, the mitzvot as well, right? Even if you aren't on this level, is one of the things I mentioned. Even if we aren't on this level, we can still gain tremendous insight from these chapters. Don't forget and don't misvalue, right, the small mitzvot. Right? Don't minimalize the small things. The small mitzvot, the small averos, they're both a big deal. Right? Don't ignore the little chesets that you can do. The smile at the guy collecting tzedakah, the carrying the groceries in for your parents, right? Saying a bracha slowly. Right? These are immensely valuable. Right? And avoiding the little averos, like we talked about, right? Like not giving back the change or whatever, convincing your friend, to give you something that they don't really want to. Could be gezel. Okay, not saying thank you. These are tiny things, but they make a tremendous difference. Make a tremendous difference. Don't forget the small things and view them as tremendous accomplishments. You don't have to, do the craziest mitzvah or avoid the craziest avera to think that you're doing well and that you're at tzedekes and you're going in the right direction. Even the small things also should be tremendous accomplishments. The second statement that he says over here, al derech zeh amru chachamim, it's a Gemara in Bava Basra. Also fascinating Gemara in Bava Basra that Chazal could take many different ways, and you spend a lot of time talking about it. But the Gemara says, "Ruba magezel," most people violate the issur of theft. "Mutzam ba'arayos," much fewer, right? A very small minority violate arayos, inappropriate relationships. "V'kulam ba'avak lashonara," and everybody violates avak lashonara. But before we get to avak lashonara, just to define avak lashonara is. It's not lashon hara. It's not saying like, oh, I hate this person. It's leading someone to say lashon hara. It's like if you know that your friend doesn't like Rabbi X, and that rabbi is giving a shiur, and you say, hey, did you go to the shiur? And you know that your friend's gonna be like, oh, I hate that rabbi. He's a loser, etc. So you didn't say anything, right? You didn't say anything bad, but you led a person, right, to say lashon hara. That's avak lashon hara. So everybody violates that, says the Gemara. So, but says the Ramchal, this is basically what we've been talking about. That in terms of the rationalization, right, most people, right, well, let's just start with the arayos, right? It's what we say meutam ba'arayos. Very few people rationalize and violate arayos. It's very hard to rationalize inappropriate relationships, right? In economy, even if the desire is there, but once a girl or a guy is married. So, pretty clear that they're off limits, right? If you're able to rationalize that a married person is not off limits, so you should see somebody, right? That's mutan barayos, right? Most people do not violate arayos because they're not able to rationalize it. Right? It may be devastating that they are taken, and I had a friend who literally was in love with the girl next door, and she got engaged, and it broke him. And then she actually had a broken engagement, and then they got married, which is actually a crazy story. But during the time when she was engaged, he was broken. He didn't think, oh, maybe she'll be mother. No, you can't rationalize arayos. So that's level A. B, says the Ramchal, it's much easier to rationalize theft. As we pointed out, someone, you kind of nudge someone for some of their food. They don't really want to give it to you, but they give it to you anyway. That could be theft. Right? You take the extra change that you get at 7-Eleven, that could be theft. Much easier to rationalize theft. And that's why we say ruba megezel, that most people violate gezel. But everyone violates avak lashon hara. Because it's much easier, for whatever reason, right? We really, really have a taiva to say lashon hara. So we always rationalize and we say, it's not me who said the lashon hara. Right? Okay, I didn't really say anything. We kind of disregard the fact that the other person wouldn't have said anything if you hadn't opened the conversation. So everybody rationalizes that. So that's a fascinating, I thought, a fascinating way, application of that Gemara that the Ramchal uses over here. And just to illustrate how rationalization can really lead a person down the path. V'amru, says the Ramchal, back to David HaMelech. Right? Fascinating. Who is unique in this area of Nikius? David HaMelech. Aside from Batsheva, which he said, Chatasi, he sinned, right? David HaMelech was free of rationalization. He was always looking at things from a bird's eye view, black and white. And that's what he said several times at Tehillim, right? And he was so clear, right, in his own righteousness. He said, Erdof oivai v'asigim v'lo ashuv la kalutam. He asked the Kadosh Baruch Hu, right, to finish off his enemies. Right? Other kings who were tremendous tzaddikim did not ask a Kadosh Baruch Hu for that. Asir, he quotes, the Ramchal quotes, Yehoshaphat, Asir, Chizkiah, they were not as menuke, right? They were not as naki, they were not as clean as David HaMelech. Right? Again, with quotes of pasuk over here, Yigmaleni Hashem Kitzidki. Fascinating. Hashem should pay me back like my righteousness. Right? Unbelievable. That's an unbelievable statement. So David HaMelech knew that the world is built on Mida Keneged Mida, right? And David knew. He was so aware of his own righteousness, his own nikius, his own cleanliness. Again, he was looking at himself from a third party, looking at himself, saying, "Listen, this is how I roll, right? Hashem, pay me back according to my righteousness." It's not gaiva; it's being so in touch with reality and being so objective that he could look at himself as if he was watching a movie and be like, "Yeah, that guy's a tremendous tzaddik. Pay him back according to my righteousness." Again, I think this may sound a little silly, but I'm not sure David HaMelech gets enough credit as the incredible tzaddik that he was. Just to illustrate, one more illustration, the Gemara says at the end of Psachim that in the future, Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to make a meal for the righteous. And the Gemara asks, fascinating Gemara. The Gemara says, who's going to bench? You got all, right? Whenever you're at a meal, you give a Kohen, you give a guest, you give the Rav. Who benches? Who leads the benching? So the Gemara says, Avos, right, goes through. Avos, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, they all have issues. Moshe, issues. Yeshua, issues. Finally, David HaMelech. David's like, I got it. Super underrated tzaddik, right, if there is such a thing. Anyway, just one more pasuk that finishes off, right? I can quote a bunch here. I'm not going to go through all of them. But he says the pasuk that we're familiar with at the end. Mi yaleh b'har Hashem, mi yakum b'kom kadsho. Who can go up to the mountain of Hashem? Who can get up to the place of His holiness? Niki chapayim uvar levav. Someone who is naki, someone who is of pure heart, someone who does not have personal negiyah, someone who is removed from all of his avera mitzvah shailas, well, like we mentioned, the Eved can approach the master. And again, just to flip the page to page Nunvav, the Ramchal again says that, hey, listen, this is a very high level, right? Vadai, Hamida Zos Kosha, this is very difficult. Ki teva hadam chalash, because man is naturally weak in this area. Right? Again, we have an ego. Aside from a taiva, we have an ego. Right? This is the human condition. We are easily seduced by evil. And as Rav Miller put it so brilliantly, we tend to seduce ourselves. We put ourselves in situations and positions to sins. And then we rationalize that we have no choice. Right? That's one of the al-chaits. It's coming up. Right, 3 weeks, you're going to hit Elul. Right, it's crazy to think about, but that's one of the al-chaits. I forget which one, but that one of the al-chaits is that we put ourselves in situations where we had no choice to sin. Well, because we rationalize and we put ourselves in that situation. That's what we're talking about over here. Says the Ramchal, right? Someone who has achieved this will certainly have achieved something incredible. Right? Bevadai misha higia lezos hamida kvar higia lamadrega gedola. Right? If you get to this level, you've hit a very, very high level. Just notice, if you're holding the sefer, right, we're like one third done. Right, guys, again, don't think that you have to accomplish this entire book, right, in the weeks that we're learning it. But as Ramchal says, right, as the Ramchal himself writes, right, you got to read it over and over and over. So, but that's what he says. If you are able to be naki, if you're able to look at your own life through a third party, so then that's a tremendous accomplishment. Fascinating language. Ki bifnei milchama chazaka amad v'nitzach. Because then a person will have stood before a tremendous war and been victorious. Right, again, calls into, kind of just reminds a person of the beginning of Parshas Kisetse. We'll talk about that when we get to it. But also, there it talks about the machlokas, the milchama that we have with our Yetzirah, right, and how we have to view it as such. Okay, this is the end of Perek Yud. Perek Yud Aleph, I didn't actually check, but I think Perek Yud Aleph is the longest Perek in the Sefer. We're not going to be able to do it in one fell swoop. I do just want to start it a little bit because it just helps illustrate a little bit what we've been talking about. And then we will go right there next week. Hopefully do maybe do half of it and do it in 2 weeks. Or I think we'll see maybe we can, as much as we can do. But anyway, just want to start it and because it really does illustrate. Again, just to recap, we said that Zahirus, right, being careful, right, that makes us avoid Averos, like we're poison, like they're poison, right? So 100% Averos that we're aware of, no problem. Right? Nikios, what we're talking about over here, is the areas that are murkier, right? Where it's 50% poison, or a person has a personal reason why they want to think that it's mutter, right? A person still has trouble with this type of stuff, but as we said before, why does a person need this? Right? If a person already knows to avoid the poison, they're already a Zahir, they already have Zahirus, right? Why would they do something that's 50% wrong? So Ramchal writes over here, right, that even though a person knows it's a poison, a person has a unique yetzer hara to entice us to do such things. Right, a special rationalization that the yetzer hara implies, right, that makes us think that things that are 50% bad are really 0% bad and totally fine. And this is how he starts, right, Perek Yud Aleph. Right, Prate Midas and Nikias Rabbi Mehem. Right, there are a lot of details with this Mida, vinam kol apratim shebekol hashaha mitzos lo sasa. And there are 365 isurim in the Torah, and therefore there are 365 details to this Mida. And every single, it's almost like he's saying, every single isur has its own special yetzer hara in this realm. For example, right, I don't have any personal taiva to wear shatnez. But if I buy a piece of clothing that I like, and there's a chance that the shatnez, all of a sudden, now I start considering it, right? So that's the unique yetzer hara, right? It applies by all of Eros, right? And then we have this yetzer hara that when we're involved in a question, right, we have some sort of negiah, some personal reason why we want to do this, so the yetzer hara is more enticing. However, and this is what we're going to pick up with next week, some of Eros, right, are more taivadik, are more desirable. Right, then, as well, just he talks about Gezel over here, theft. He talks about Arayos. He's going to talk about Machalos Asuros, right? Treif, Lashon Hara. He's going to get to all those examples. But these specific examples, which he's going to go through in Perek Yud Aleph, right, require extra effort. Because on the one hand, you have the Yetzer Hara for these things outright, right? We have a natural taiva for theft and arayos and all this type of stuff. And then when you have a personal nitiya, your personal, you know, you're partial to whatever, you know, you want it to be mutter, then you have an extra yetzer hara, right, on top of that. So right, that will leave for next week, but it's a shame. We'll talk about all the details. But this is the level of nikiyus, and again, something to think about, right? Like I said before, don't despair if it seems almost too high to shoot for. You can definitely get there, but this is talking about a transformation of months and years to accomplish these levels. And Mitzvah Shem, we'll keep on climbing as we go weiter in the Heiliger Sefer. All right, great to see everybody. Thanks for hanging out, and we'll see.